Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Oh, trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood.
I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wind,
being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses,
and we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. You're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh,
class is online, gonna open up the mind.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Welcome to Season 2 of Teacher Talks. This is Episode 4. I am your host, Stacey McClam, live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international brand. This season is sponsored by School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching by Stacey McClam, available on Amazon. We are proud to welcome you to a season of profound discussions with leaders in education, inclusion, and wellness. For those of you who do not know me, I am an educator, author, and filmmaker. I have 10 years of elementary teaching experience. I've taught first grade through fourth grade, but mostly first grade. I've taught in Washington, D.C., Denver, Los Angeles, and also abroad in Japan and Kuwait. Last year, I resigned from the teaching profession and wrote a book entitled School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, where I describe why I left the teaching profession. The book raises awareness about the trauma that students and teachers experience at school. In between my teaching career, I graduated from law school to bridge K through 12 education and the legal field for education reform reasons. However, I noticed that it took too long to change policy and return to the classroom. I have a great respect for teachers and the teaching profession. Now I am transitioning from teacher to filmmaker. I've directed 2 of the 3 short films that I wrote, and my goal is to create films about education issues because I'm very passionate about this topic. I feel that I can better serve students outside of the classroom by exposing people to the realities that occur inside the classroom through film. Now, today's guest I'm very excited about is Tinzi J. Taylor, the Associate Director of the USC Black Alumni Association, where she directs the Legacy Through Leadership Mentoring Program, plans events for students and alumni, and assists students with their professional and career development. Tinzi is also the author of Bullied, From Terror to Triumph, My Survival Story, where she recounts 13 years of being bullied from students at school. And she's going to explain later how she turned a negative situation into a positive situation. Last summer, she traveled to Ireland to present at the World Anti-Bullying Forum on the topic of school bullying. In addition to raising awareness about bullying, Tinzi is a red carpet host in Hollywood where she interviews celebrities. She has taken a selfie with Oprah and was a contestant on Wheel of Fortune. Hi, Tinzi. How are you today?
Hi, Stacey. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I know you've been very busy over at USC. Last week, you all had the inauguration for USC's first woman president, Dr.
Yes.
Carol Folt.
Yes. Yes. It was an exciting time. Not only is she the first woman president of USC, the 12th president, but she's also from North Carolina, my home state, where she was previously chancellor of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And she is a strong, mighty woman, and she is excited about new initiatives and ideas of bringing forth, especially in the areas of diversity and inclusion here at USC. Mm. So I look forward to learning under her leadership while she's here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know you guys had a great time welcoming her.
Mm-hmm, we did.
So as an educator, I am very interested in your book. I read your book months ago, and I want to say to the listeners, the book, Tinzi's book, Bullied, From Terror to Triumph, My Survival Story, is enlightening, but it's also entertaining. It's not an academic book, but it's an autobiography where Tinzi discusses bullying in schools, and it's something that I saw as a teacher, and it's an important topic that I would like to discuss with you. So if you could give us kind of a synopsis of the book or what inspired you to write the book and even share your story.
Sure. So I decided to write the book back in 2015, and everywhere I would go, I would hear the word bully. So whether it was at an event here on campus or a Hollywood event, or I would talk to some parent or whomever, the word bully came up. And so I am a woman of faith. And I said, okay, Lord, I hear you, because I didn't want to tell my story. My mom and dad had been asking me to tell my story since I was a freshman in college when I was 18. And I said, Mom and Dad, nobody wants to read my story. Nobody's going to care about what I went through. And fast forward years later, I finally decided to tell my story, not only because I continued to hear the word bully everywhere I went, but because I would watch the news and I would listen to podcasts or NPR or different stories that were going on in the world, and bullying was sounding like it was an epidemic. Young people were being bullied, not only at school, but online, cyberbullying, and sadly, several were taking their lives because they felt that they weren't worthy enough. And so I said, you know what, let me tell my story because I believe it's compelling. And I went through a lot of challenges, a lot of obstacles, but I came out on top. And so from kindergarten up until my senior year of high school, I was physically, verbally, and emotionally bullied by peers at school. So I was bullied for my looks. I've always been short, petite, so students made fun of me for that. I was bullied because I didn't wear name brand clothes or shoes. I shopped at Walmart, Dollar General, places like that, where I would buy shoes that were $10 or $12 at the time because that's all that my parents could afford. So students made fun of me for that. I was also bullied for academics because I was a straight-A student, because teachers liked me, because I was a good student and didn't get into trouble. Other students bullied me. And it wasn't just the name-calling, but it was times when students physically put their hands on me by pushing me in lockers, sticking their foot out, trying to trip me in the hallway, or for awards day when I would try to walk on stage to go up to collect my award, to a student trying to break my arm when I was in middle school. I was terrorized for many years, and I had very low self-esteem, low self-worth, and when I was a junior in high school at 16, I became so low that I contemplated suicide because I said, I go to school, I don't bother anybody, I try to do my best academically, but every day some student is making a comment about me or pushing me or just saying something to deter me from continuing to go on with life, and I just didn't want to live like that anymore because it wasn't fun and people were just so malicious to me. But thankfully, I didn't go through with it, and I slowly but surely began to find my voice and really realized that the students who bullied me, they were hurt and they were suffering from several insecurities, which is why they tried to bring me down, because if someone is truly confident in who they are, they don't have to diminish someone else in order to elevate themselves. And as the psychologist who wrote the foreword to my book, Dr. Gloria Morrow, says that hurt people hurt people. And the students who bullied me, they were hurt. I can only imagine what they were going through at home, because when their parents would come up to the school, some of them were being vulgar, cursing teachers out and other people. So if the parent is cursing the teacher out, I can only imagine what the parent might be saying to that child at home, which in turn might be why I was bullied. But even though I was bullied for so long, I never got like a mean spirit. I never wanted to bully back. The few instances where I did stand up and kind of made a curt remark to the bully, I felt bad about it. And I ended up apologizing because that wasn't how my mom and dad raised me, but I had the empathy, I had the emotional intelligence to understand the dynamics of the bullies that I dealt with even at a young age. And now that I'm a full-fledged adult, I truly understand more the psychology behind it of why people do what they do. But in the moment when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, all you want to do is fit in. All you want to do is have a friend. All you want to do is be appreciated. And although I didn't experience that every day, I did what I had to do to get through the days, and I triumphed. Eventually, I became great and was able to live a successful and rewarding life.
There's a lot that we are going to unpack with what you just expressed. As an educator, I definitely can relate to what you're saying in regards to the mental health and trauma piece, where hurt people, because as I said, I've mostly taught first graders, but even with such young children, I could see the hurt in the students, and I knew that that's why they were aggressive. I knew they were going through a lot, and as teachers, we're not trained in psychology, your mental health, trauma, or anything. So we're trying to be psychologists, but we don't know what to do, and we don't have time with, you know, a classroom full of kids. And so I also think it's interesting that both your parents were educators and very involved, very committed, and they still did not know what was going on at school, even though, you know, you went home and they discussed your school day, how was your school day, Tenzi, and, you know, they knew the teachers. So how would parents and or teachers know what's going on at school if the student who's being bullied understandably doesn't express what's going on?
That's a great question, and my advice is, as a parent or legal guardian, just have as many open and honest conversations as you can. Now, my parents, I might have put on a facade that everything was fine, but parents know when something's up with their children. And so in my book, I talk about how in fifth grade, I just loved learning. But all of a sudden, I started to say, Mom and Dad, how many days until Christmas break? Or how many days until spring break? Or when is summer going to get here? And my mom was like, whoa. Like, you have this zest and love for learning, and now all of a sudden you're counting down the days of when spring break is, of when Christmas break is. And so she knew that something was up. And so she talked to me, and I eventually told her what was going on, and that was the incident where I was being bullied by a teacher in my classroom. So parents, I just say watch for signs and signals. If you have this vibrant child and all of a sudden they're kind of more to themselves, more introverted, counting down days, or even if you notice them starting to give stuff away, those are red flags. And you might want to have a talk to see, hey, what's going on? And just the fact of knowing that the child will appreciate you recognizing that they're not themselves and that something's amiss, and talking with them. Because when my parents noticed that I was acting differently, it made me feel better, and I was able to talk to them about what was going on at that time. And they were successful in removing me from that classroom where the teacher was bullying me. It took a lot of effort, but they were successful in that. So just to notice signs, and I tell parents all the time, to just recognize, be monitored, especially with social media. Thankfully, I didn't grow up during the days of social media, but today I tell parents, monitor what your child is doing on social media. If they have an Instagram or a Facebook, who are they talking to online? What are they posting? Because you have a right to be in your child's life and to know what is going on. And sometimes parents didn't know that their children were posting things or that others were bullying them, or some parents didn't even know that their own child was a bully based on what was being posted on social media. So be very proactive in your child's life and know what he or she is doing, where he or she is at all times. That's not, you know, being a helicopter parent. That's not being overprotective. That's just good parenting.
Definitely. And as far as social media, you know, students all the time make private accounts also, so parents cannot even find them online if they say they're on Instagram. And so I know that students actually create, for example, fight pages at certain schools, and those fight pages are private, and what they're doing is actually filming fights at school and posting them in the private account.
Wow.
So unfortunately, parents, yes. So that happens as well. So I think, as you're saying, Tinzi, it's important that parents recognize the signs and act on them and probe and ask questions.
Absolutely. And I mean, you've enlightened me. I had no idea that students were posting. I mean, I knew about World Star, but I didn't know even kids in elementary school were having pages like that. And one of the things I tell parents is, if I had have grown up in social media, I still would not have had a phone until I was going off to college. And so I know parents want the children to have the latest technology to fit in so that maybe they won't be bullied. But your child just needs a basic flip phone that just has numbers to dial, because they don't need to be on this social media. It's not good, and especially being exposed to social media at such a young age with all the negativity, with all the sex that's being promoted. It's just not good. So if you're a parent and, like you said about the videos that some students are posting, be old school and get your child a flip phone. And that's all they need, is to text and to call and communicate with you. They don't need to be on Instagram. They don't need to be on Facebook, because sometimes parents are surprised when they see, you know, their daughter or son posting things. And so just eradicate all of that by just having a simple phone that they can use to text or call or whatever, and that would help to alleviate problems as well.
Right. But then the students probably wouldn't use a flip phone because they know they'd get teased. So
yeah, that's true, but that's where tough parenting comes in. It's like either the child gets teased or the student has a phone on social media, is being bullied, and might commit suicide at a later date. I mean, I just have read so many stories in the past month. I read a story recently where a young kid, somebody called him ugly on Instagram, and she killed herself. Like, it's just becoming too common. So if the student is bullied for the flip phone, okay, but at least, you know, the parent will know what's going on. I just, with social media, it's just so scary with their predators out there and people posing as different as somebody that they're not. So if you're, you know, 7 years old and you already have an Instagram or a Facebook account, that's just scary to me. So if I were a parent, I would wait until at least my child is a freshman in high school before I gave them, like, a true smartphone. If they had a problem with it, oh, well, welcome to life. It's going to be challenges. Mm-hmm. But at least they would kind of be safer and I could more monitor what's going on. Because I know for a fact, like I said, my mom, I didn't get a phone until I was 18 and I went to college. And I begged and pleaded. And I'm like, Mom, what if my car messes up? And she was like, well, that was the days of payphone. Well, you go to a payphone, you call me. Like, it was no negotiating with her. And I think that really helped make my life easier. So that's just my advice. I'm not a parent, but that's what I would do if I were.
Right, and maybe if parents do give their children phones, to make sure they talk about these issues, like you said, telling them about predators and dangers that can happen, and parents telling students, you know, that I am aware that there are private accounts. So, you know, just letting them know what dangers are out there, the reason why a parent might be concerned, maybe would help students if the parent explained to them the dangers that occur.
Exactly. And then it's teaching them at a young age to be alert. So be mindful of what you post on social media. If you are posting, don't put your location or where you are at that moment, because people can show up. I had that happen before where I post where I'm at an event, and the person, like, I had no idea, showed up. How did they find out this information? Because I posted where I was. So thankfully I was in a surrounded area. It's like hundreds of people were there. But as a teenager, if you're like, oh, my gosh, me and my bestie, we're here, and you tag the location right then and there, somebody, oh, they're right there, let me go find them. It's just very dangerous. So just be extra cautious.
Okay. That's helpful. Mm-hmm. So there are many chapters in your book that I've enjoyed all the chapters, but there are a few that stood out, and one in particular was Chapter 5, Failing to Fit In. And I like that because it talks about not just how you play dumb sometimes to fit in, but it kind of alludes to low – I think you do talk about it either in that chapter or another chapter, low expectations and tracking. Mm-hmm. Of different classes and expectations for different students. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So failing to fit in, I was very creative in trying to find ways where I could just get a reprieve from the bullying. And when people read my book, they'll see other creative ways, but as you mentioned, failing to fit in. And so I had just had enough. I'm like, I'm studying hard, I'm staying up late, I'm making good grades on my tests, A's, but students are still bullying me. So I said, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to study for this test anymore. I'm tired of being picked on for being smart. Whatever happens, happens. Good luck. And so I took the test the next day, and I failed it. And when I got my test back, I got a 55. And even my teacher, when she handed back my paper, was like, well, Tensie, like, what's going on? You need to get this signed so that your parents know what's going on. And I did. I had them sign the paper, but I used an excuse. I didn't say that I deliberately failed because of what was going on at school. I just said, well, you know, maybe I just didn't study hard enough. Even then, I wasn't fully transparent with my parents. But what's funny, and funny as in ha-ha funny and ironic, is that when I failed, I became so popular that day. Students were high-fiving me.
That is so sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. They were high-fiving me.
But it happens all the time, every day. It's like cool to not be smart.
It's cool. Exactly. It's cool to not be smart. It's cool to be dumb. Oh, my God, you made a 55. I made a 50. High five. Let me walk you to your next class. And I said, what type of mess is this where I'm being praised for failing? And first of all, I already felt bad because my teacher had said something to me, and I knew when I got home my parents would really, lit into me, and they did. And they said, I don't know what you got going on, but you don't bring home these type of grades. You've been making A's, high A's, and now all of a sudden you're failing. You better not ever let this happen again. And so my mom and dad didn't play, and I knew that. And so after that, I never failed. But I think back on that experience as if I didn't have parents who cared, if I did bring failing grades home all the time, they're like, okay, well, you just didn't do well. Oh, well, where would I be? I might not have graduated high school. I might be not in the position that I'm in today, but I had parents who cared, and they had tough love, and they had high expectations in the Taylor household. So I might be able to fail at school once, but that's all it took, because after that, I brought home no more failing grades, and I was back to making my A's. But it was just very sad that I got commended for failing. But then again, once I started to get back into making straight A's again, the students were back to stealing my papers, making snide comments. Oh, my gosh, Tensi, like, can you make a bad grade so that we can feel better? Like, as if it were my fault. And I'm like, we have the same 24 hours in the day. We have the same teachers. I choose to listen and learn in class and go home and study. And they didn't. They wanted to be the class clown, but they were mad at me because I was making good grades and they didn't. So it's just interesting what someone will do to try to get a reprieve. And thankfully, my mom and dad nipped that in the bud, but some students aren't so lucky. Like, they don't have parents who care about their grades and just, like, do whatever, do what you got to do. But thankfully, I did have those who cared.
Definitely, the parental involvement piece is so important. And, I mean, the culture of low expectations, it's, I don't know what to do to solve the problem, because if students think that they have to pull other students down to their level, I mean, what does that say about that student?
Mm-hmm.
And why they have low expectations? Like, why is you achieving high, why is that a bad thing? Does that makes them look bad, so they want to bring you down? But as a culture, and I've taught in the U.S., I've taught in predominantly Black and Latino and or Latino schools. And so I've seen this a lot, particularly in the Black schools, and I'm not happy with it at all. And I, like I said, I don't know how did that happen that we, some of us encourage low expectations.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I'm sure as a teacher you could write another book in addition to what you've
yes.
written. But I know my dad, he taught for 48 years, taught English, African-American literature, and French. And when he taught his African-American literature class, the Black kids were the ones who were failing, and the white kids were soaring. And so my dad, being the dad that he is, he said, okay, I want all of the Black kids to stay after school today. And he had a conversation with them. He said, what is wrong with you all? Here you are taking this African-American literature class, and you're failing. But yet the white kids are soaring. You don't even want to learn about your own history. And he said the students got in on him like, Mr. Taylor, we thought because you were one of us, you were going to cut us some slack. He was like, excuse me? And that's exactly what I won't be doing. Like, you should take pride in your history and your heritage. And you need to bring your grades up. Then somebody else raised his hand. Well, I couldn't afford your textbook. So my dad looked down at his feet. He said, how much did those Jordan shoes cost you? He's like, $400. So you spent $400 on some shoes but not money for your textbook. Where are your priorities? He's like, I'm disappointed in you all, and I hope you get your act together. And no, I'm not going to be nicer or more lenient on you because you're Black. I'm going to be tougher on you. And so he had that tough love, and by the end of the course, every Black person in there had an A. And so just having high expectations and not letting students deter others, I think that tremendously helped. Now, my dad taught way back in the day. Well, teaching is totally different now. But he just had that respect from the students, and he just didn't believe in excuses. And so, well, I don't have the money for the textbook. What about the shoes you're wearing? Well, I thought you would cut us some slack. I'm not going to cut you some slack. And to this day, my dad has hundreds of thank you cards that students have written him, thanking him for the tough love, because they didn't have anybody that believed in them and took that extra time. And as teachers, that's what you have to do. And I know in your book, Stacy, and what you and I have talked about, it's tough for a teacher to take on extra work when you have to teach kids and grade papers and deal with behavior issues. The last thing you want to do is try to take on more effort. But if students were more well-behaved, maybe that could be an incentive for teachers to want to do more in the classroom, because sometimes students just feel like they don't care because a teacher will dismiss them. So it's just – but everything goes back to the home. It goes back to parenting. Parents, how are you raising your children? How are you teaching them dignity and respect? It's not the teacher's job to discipline your child. No, you need to handle that. Send your children to school to learn and behave, and if they don't, deal with it accordingly. My mom and dad always told my siblings and me, you act up if you want to at school. I will come up to the school and embarrass you, and we'll give your teacher permission to spank you. Don't play with me. And that's all it took. We were all well-behaved. We never even got a note sent home or got sent to the office, none of that. So I just feel like we need to go back to the olden days of parenting and raising kids and teaching them to have dignity and respect and to have high standards and to be mannerable and appreciative. Be your child's parent, not their friend.
Definitely, and I think maybe the students in your dad's class maybe did not have parents who were involved, we'll say, academically. They may have been involved in other ways, but not academically. And so for your dad to take the time to talk to them is kind of like stepping in as a parent or a mentor figure. And then they were able to change, you know, their grades because of that. So sometimes it takes an outside person like a mentor to make those changes, which is why what I want to talk to you about after our commercial break is your mentoring program. We're going to take a quick commercial break and return live on Tribe Family Channel with Teacher Talks right after this.
Hi, my name is Stacy Matt-Clam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymatclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacy Matclam. Thank you.
Hi, we're back. I'm Stacy Matclam, your host of Teacher Talks. This is Season 2, Episode 4, with my guest, Tinzi Taylor. So as I mentioned in the intro of the show, Tinzi is the Associate Director of the USC Black Alumni Association, and there she directs the Legacy Through Leadership Mentoring Program. So before the break, we talked about how Tinzi's dad kind of stepped in as a mentor figure to his students to help them change their grades. So I'm interested, Tinzi, in your mentoring program and kind of when it started and what kind of things you do with the program.
Yes, so we have a mentorship program here at USC where every Black student has the opportunity to apply, and if accepted, he or she will be paired with a mentor in his or her career field. So if the student is interested in engineering, I will pair him with an engineer. Someone interested in marketing, I'll pair them with a marketing consultant. And in addition to having that one-on-one mentorship, I plan two monthly events per month to help students both inside and outside of the classroom. And so we have events centered around financial literacy, because one of the things I noticed is some of my students don't know how to build credit, don't know how student loans can affect their credit, how to write a check, how to save, what a 401k is. They're not sure what those terminology is. So we started a partnership with our USC Credit Union to come in and educate our students on financial literacy. In addition, have various resources where the Career Center will come in and talk to our students about internship opportunities as well as job opportunities. The Study Abroad office will come in and share about how to prepare for study abroad, how to get financing, how to perfect your application. We have people from the libraries to come in and share about what resources are available to students both online and with physical libraries on campus. We have representatives from financial aid office to come in and share what scholarships they can apply to as a graduate student. Do you have other options in addition to just taking out loans? We also do events on mental health, and so in November, we have one of our alumni coming in to share about tools and strategies on how to keep yourself mentally active and in a good space. We take care of our bodies physically. We take care of ourselves spiritually, but do we take care of ourselves mentally? And so she comes in and shares her knowledge with our students, and she started her nonprofit, sadly, after her brother committed suicide due to his mental issues, and so she really wants to bring awareness, particularly to the Black community, because sometimes we feel that they're crazy or just pray it out of you. And no, that's not always going to work. Take care of yourself and seek the help of professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors who can help you during a difficult time. We also have fun events. So we had an event back in February for Black History Month with Black Love. So this is a show on the Oprah Winfrey Network, and the producers of the show came in and talked to our students about Black Love. Some of the Black Hollywood couples came and shared their experience. But I want students to not only be equipped with resources to help them while they are here at USC, but in the real world. And in addition to the bi-monthly events, I send out at least 15 to 20 opportunities a month, whether it's volunteering, whether it's helping me with a Hollywood event, whether it's a paid gig, whether it's going to Price is Right. We did that 2 years ago where we got some USC students and went to see Price is Right, and one of our students got caught on stage. I just want to have fun, but also have that balance and let students know that you can learn more outside of the classroom as opposed to in it, and that your network is really what's important. Yes, you'll have your schoolwork, you'll make the A's, you'll do well, but if people can speak highly of you and can know what it is you do, then that carries you further than any degree ever will. And so you always, because your network with the K determines your net worth, how much money you can eventually make just by the possibilities. And USC has some phenomenal alumni. Kevin Feige, who is the president of Marvel Studios, just joined the board on the cinema school. So Oprah has been on campus several times. George Lucas, Dr. Dre, and Jimmy Iovine have an academy here. So you never know who you'll see when you're on campus. But just exposing these students, to mentorship and the importance of listening to the advice of a mentor, taking advantage, networking. It's okay to be introverted, but if you really want to stand out in society, be extroverted and go out. It's okay to shake someone's hand to get a business card. I once had a student, he needed funding for an event, and I helped him with the funding, and I said, "Do you have business cards?" And he says, "No, I don't have business cards." I say, you need to get business cards. It makes you stand out, and it makes people see that you're serious. Well, he got his business cards, went to an event, got a chance to meet President Clinton. President Clinton said, "Oh, my gosh, young sir," he created a video game, virtual reality, about police brutality. "Oh, my gosh, sir, well, can I get in contact with you?" He had his business cards, and Bill Clinton, and he's connected with him. So I just teach students to be ready, because you might not get a second chance. "Oh, let me fumble through." No. Let me show the business cards and let people know you're serious. So these are the types of opportunities that I instill in my students. And as we talked about earlier, Stacey, I have high expectations. If a student comes to my office late, sorry, you got to reschedule, because clearly you didn't respect my time. Now, if they email me or call me to let me know they're running late, sure, I'm more than willing to work with them. But I'm just trying to teach them accountability and responsibility, and so that when they get out in the real world, they won't be someplace on time. They will be someplace early, and they will have those skill sets to be, you know, productive citizens.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I love it. Love it. And so, as the listeners can hear, Tinsy does work in higher education. And I thought it was interesting when I read her book that students were actually bullied in higher education as well. I kind of just assumed it was K through 12. I didn't think people got bullied in college. And that really surprised me. So I know, Tinsy, that this summer you actually flew to Ireland, which was super exciting, for the World Anti-Bullying Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you tell us what you presented on there?
Yes, that was an amazing opportunity. 1,000 people from 45 different countries all came together to share knowledge and resources and experiences on being bullied. And I got to present my story, and I created a poster, and I had comments from students who have been bullied and what they go through, signs to look for, things of that nature, and just talking to different parents from all over the world. And the sad thing is that bullying is all over the world, but the same theme is common. We all want to find ways to stop it. And one story really just broke my heart. It made me mad at the same time. I was talking to this parent. He was from the States, and he started this nonprofit organization after his daughter, sadly, committed suicide from bullying. And he said he would go up to the school many times and talk to the students who bullied his daughter, talk to the parents. Talk to the parents, talk to the teachers, the principal, everything. Nothing was done. He said he went up to the school so much, they put a restraining order on him.
What?
And he said, here I am, a father, trying to fight for my daughter, and they put a restraining order on me, but the kids who are bullying my child, they still get to sit in the same classroom as her every day. And so, sadly, as I said earlier, the young lady, she committed suicide. And under this principal's watch, 8 kids committed suicide because of bullying due to this principal. Because this principal did nothing about it. And so, finally, after the 8th suicide, then the cops and everybody wants to get involved and do an investigation. They fired her. Now the school has all these lawsuits. But
after eight deaths,
and the principal would always say, well, I'm not held accountable. And the parents would say, but these kids who are a part of the school, they're bullying other kids, and you're not doing anything about it. She's like, it's not my fault. They should just have a tougher skin. And so hearing that, like, just makes me so upset and sad, because this dad had a restraining order put against him for just trying to protect his daughter. And she just sadly felt that there was no way out except death. And so she took her life. But 8 students took their lives under this principal's watch. And I'm like, why is it always after the fact when schools want to do something? That they have all the evidence in the beginning, the harassment, the cyberbullying, all of that. Nobody wants to take it seriously. But then when a student decides to take his or her life and a lawsuit is issued, then they want to do something. That's being reactive, not proactive, to the situation. So it was just interesting to learn. One of the countries that's doing great with bullying, decreasing bullying, is Canada. And they have this, they teach kids emotional intelligence from kindergarten all the way up to high school. So just like we teach kids math beginning at 1 plus 1 is 2 all the way up until calculus, your senior year of high school, I feel like if we were to teach kids emotional intelligence and character traits like perseverance, resiliency, tenacity, just being kind, being nice, teach that from 5 years old to 18, and they get this all through school, I think we would have kinder, nicer students. Or if they don't want to be that, then they would know not to mess with other people, because I'm amazed at how low people's emotional intelligence is, how someone can just not have empathy, or someone comes to you crying and you just stand there like, why are you bringing this to me? And even in my working world, I have seen people get yelled at and cursed at and screamed at for making a simple mistake. And I'm just like, this is not how you're supposed to live. So even in adulthood, people get bullied. And as you mentioned earlier, I shared about in higher education, people get bullied. They might have a bad roommate. That's a bullying situation. Or they might have a professor who's bullying them. That professor that calls on a black student, hey, can you talk about this from the black perspective? That's a form of bullying. You're singling that person out. Why are you giving one black person the responsibility to speak for all black people? That's a form of bullying. Mm. And so it never stops. But one of the things that I encourage people is find your voice. So me, for so many years, I didn't have my voice. I was scared. I was shunned. But now if I'm bullied, I don't have to fight back with my hands. No, I will find out who the president of an organization is or who such and such is, and I will write a letter to corporate and express how I feel. And that has gotten things changed around very quickly. And so use the power of your voice. Write a letter. And if kids are being bullied at school, I wish I had enrolled in martial arts classes. Not that you're going to go around fighting everybody, but just to know self-defense and to know that you can feel powerful. Because if you know you can fight back, it's a whole different dynamic as opposed to just living in fear and being timid.
Hmm. That's a lot of good information, Tinsy. I didn't know about Canada's emotional intelligence curriculum from K through 12. I know here in the U.S., nothing is standard in the U.S., which is a problem in my opinion. I mean, we have the Common Core standards, but, yeah, that's a whole other issue with how they're implemented and, yeah. But some schools have taken it upon themselves to have certain programs that are character education-based or different types of, you know, emotional intelligence programs, but I've never seen it, as I said, done as a standardized thing with a district where a teacher has to teach this at a certain time or at the beginning of the day, you know, where it's embedded into the curriculum, because usually the focus is the curriculum, the standards, which obviously is important. But with me, in all of my experiences, because of the mental health and trauma that my students experience, the curriculum was on the back burner. It was never a priority. I and the other teachers always did the best we could, but it was never, we always had to deal with other issues first anyway.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, just because of the population that we were dealing with. It wasn't just one student who was bullying it, you know, it was multiple, like at least five. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, these students, people have emotional, mental issues, and school needs to be the place where else are they going to learn it? They don't. So
exactly.
I'm all for that, learning it at school.
And then too, what I learned is make learning fun. I know that teachers, you know, you have to teach to a curriculum and you have to teach to standardized tests. I wish that we didn't have so many standardized tests here in the U.S. because to me, that just measures how well you can take a test, not really how intelligent you are. But in other schools, I mean, they make learning fun. They do games. They do rap. They take a song and they'll change the lyrics. I think I saw a video of someone like talking about periodic tables for chemistry and taking a song and making it fun. So if we could just make learning more interactive and fun, and if teachers didn't have to just teach to the curriculum in the test all the time, just use the creative element, because sadly in schools, art is what gets cut. That's the first thing that gets cut. And sometimes a student might not be that great academically, and that's okay, but they might be talented in playing the piano or acting or drama or something. So the arts needs to be like number one priority in the school system. I know Tiffany Haddish says that the arts, what saved her. That's how she found out she was funny. She was the class clown in school, and she found out, hey, you know, maybe I have a niche for comedy. So this the arts. You might not be Einstein. That's okay, but if you can sing well, if you can play the piano, if you can dance, if you can act, that's wonderful. Use your skill sets and talents to pour into it is what you're good at. And I wish that we've spent more money, more time on the arts, because if you look at a lot of these actors and actresses or singers or writers, they got their start in the arts, whether it was a school play or doing something in church or leading a solo during camp. I mean, that's when people are like, oh my gosh, you know, you have a beautiful voice, or have you considered doing this play? The arts, I'm just such a proponent of the arts, because that's where the creativity is and where you can truly figure out, especially as a young kid, what you're good at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our previous guest mentioned the same thing. She taught theater education. She's an actor and a teacher and a counselor. And she, yeah, said how valuable it was. And we talked about how, you know, not everyone, multiple intelligences. And so everyone is not going to think the same or express themselves the same in the same manner. And as you stated, some people are naturally gifted in the arts. So all of it needs to be encompassed at schools, in schools. And I think it has to come, there has to be a systemic change, because it has to come from not just the district, but like state boards of education.
Yeah.
It needs to be like at the federal level, the state level, federal level, this emotional intelligence, the arts, bullying awareness, it has to come from a higher level, because it's not trickling down just at the school level or district level.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
where
the real change needs to come.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What do you think is the biggest challenge maybe to preventing or reducing bullying? And I'm asking that because there were times when I was a teacher and things happened on the playground and I didn't know, because I'm not supervising outside on the playground, and either the aides who were on the playground didn't see, and or the message never got relayed to me. So there were things that happened to my students that I never knew about, and there's a lot of lack of communication. And so I'm just wondering what the greatest challenge is to reduce bullying, particularly on school sites.
Yeah, I think the greatest challenge you just mentioned earlier, it has to start from the top up. So teachers can all come together and write their notes and monitor bullying behavior. But if they give all this information to the principal and the principal does nothing, it doesn't go anywhere. So several schools talk about having a zero tolerance bully policy. Well, use that, like, be true to that. And I feel like if it starts from the top up and people see that the superintendent or the principal is serious about treating everybody with dignity and respect, if you don't abide by these rules, then maybe this school isn't for you. And trying to not just, and that's what, this is what I want people to realize, is those who bully, there's, like we said, trauma. There's something going on. So not just automatically throwing them in detention or ISS, but kind of pulling them aside and saying, hey, what's going on? Because when the student knows that you care, they might be more willing to open up. And there was a story a few months ago with this dad who talked to this this bully who was bullying his child and said, hey, what's going on? Like, you pick on my son at school. He doesn't do anything to you. What's up? And the bully said, well, I'm homeless. My family and I are homeless right now, and I'm jealous that your son gets to come to school wearing nice clothes and I don't, and it makes me feel less than. And so the father started a GoFundMe to help raise money for the family to get them out of homelessness. So we don't know what trauma is going on with students. So I'm not a proponent of just, you know, persecute them and push them to the side. No, talk to them. Because there have been times where I've, even on the college level, I've talked to students who just have this, like, animosity. And I come in and I give them a hug and I say, sit down, what's going on? And then they just start breaking down and they cry. They're like, I haven't had anybody that show me that they cared. Like, they always just dismiss me or push me to the side or think I'm this bad person, but you actually want to know what's going on in my life. And that can make a world of difference. So not only being there for the student who's bullied, but talking to the bully and saying, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? Why are you over here picking on people? What's going on? And let them know that their voice can be heard too. But I just feel like with having the proper leadership and having true empathy and letting people know they care makes the world of difference. I mean, I have my master's in education, so I've done the research, and I know research is very helpful, wonderful. It helps us figure out other statistics and everything, what's going on in life. But in the moment when a child needs you, that research is not going to help. Your heart, your caring nature, your empathy, your wrapping your arms around him and her, saying you are loved, you are worthy, that is what might save that student in that moment. So just being kind, being nice and treating people with the utmost dignity and respect. That's something my parents always taught me, and I live by that to this day. Whether I'm talking to an educator, whether I'm talking to the president of a university, whether I'm talking to Oprah, or whether I'm talking to the custodial staff, all four of those people are human beings, and they deserve to be treated with respect. I don't look down on anyone because we are all equal in God's eyes, and I feel like we as society have just sometimes lost our compassion, our kindness, all of that. We just want to be mean and be right all the time and not focusing on just being gentle and being loving.
Thank you for that. That is so true. So true. I think I know we're living in a different time now where that empathy piece is not as present, I don't think, as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, yeah, our students are feeling it and expressing it. So it should be a kind of a wake-up call to the adults that we need to do better because our kids are showing us something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise they wouldn't be bullying each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
thank
true.
You. That's very important information. And so, Tinzi, we have about 5 minutes left on the show. Where can our listeners get in touch with you and find your book?
Yes, so I'm always open to talking with people. And on social media, on Instagram, my handle is my name, Tinzi, T-E-N-S-I-E, Taylor. And then Facebook, I have my own Facebook page. It's Tinzi J. Taylor. And Twitter, it's M-S-T-E-N-S-I-E. And people can go online and get my book through Amazon and send me a message, a direct message, or whatever it is, and I will reach out. I have had many people contact me that way to ask questions. Parents, my child is being bullied. What do I do? Students who are being bullied, how do I overcome it? And so I just want to say that there will be better days ahead. And I look at my life now, and Stacy, you told them a brief snapshot of who I've had the chance to meet, but I've taken selfies with Oprah. I've talked to Denzel. I've met Beyonce and Jay-Z. President Obama wrote me 2 letters. I've been to the Oscars, Grammys, you name it. I have had the pleasure of meeting so many celebrities, and this is who I am now at 32. So if at 16 years old, half my age at that time, if I had given up and had taken my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. So to the young people, if you're feeling bleak, if you're feeling like there is no hope for tomorrow, there is hope for tomorrow. And I look forward to hearing your story where 5 years or 10 years from now, you're telling me you're a neurosurgeon or you're just getting your Academy Award or you're becoming a business person. And you're like, oh, my gosh, just years ago I was being bullied and didn't think it would get better. But it does get better, and know that the reason you're bullied is because they see something special in you. They will never tell you that, but they bully you because they see something special. You have something that they want, and instead of just asking, hey, how is that you have this special talent or this special gift, they want to bring you down in order to elevate themselves. I'm drawing a blank right now. Tisha Campbell Martin, she said on a radio show one time, she said, somebody asked her, if you could go back to your younger self, what would you say? And she would say, I would say to the girl on the playground who says, you think you're cute, I would say, I do think I'm cute, and so are you. How can you come back to that comment?
That's cute.
You've
and
expressed
so
how
you
know your worth, and they can't say anything to that, but nothing but good thoughts. So know that you're cute. And other people are cute, too, and there's no need to bring anybody down because we're all fighting some type of battle that society may not know. But just be kind and know that you will get through this. I did. I'm out here thriving, living my best life now, and you can too.
Amazing, amazing. And I want to say that as I've told the listeners, I've read the book, and although, you know, most of the book is about your bullying experience, it is a story of resilience and overcoming. And it's also entertaining. Tinzi's from North Carolina, so she talks about eating grits. My dad's from South Carolina, so I know I've grown up on grits all the time. And it's just funny. Like, things had me laughing out loud. She talked about Sanford and Son, has these little anecdotes because I used to love Sanford and Son. So
yes.
It's definitely a great read. It's not a sad read. It's an inspiring read. So thank you very much for sharing it with the world.
And thank you, Stacy, for allowing me to come on your show and to get the message out there. And you, too, keep up the great work. I follow everything you're doing on social media, and you are making power moves. So keep going, girl.
Thank you very much, Tinsy. I'm trying over here. And so for the listeners, you can find me on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Stacy McClam, StacieMcClam. And you can find my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon.com. Tinsy, have a wonderful day. Keep up the good work at USC with
Thank
the students and mentoring. Awesome.
Thank you so much, and blessings to you, my friend.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is Stacy McClam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymcclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacy McClam. Thank you.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine, this class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. You're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should. I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good. Yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind. Being at school makes me wanna sing. Oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is on time. Gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
teacher. I'm a teacher. Yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes and jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine.
Oh, classes online.
Gotta open up the mind.
I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher. Let me see the way you shine.